I want more money in more people's hands than in just a few institutions' hands. I think what the banks do is phenomenal. It's an incredible business model. That's great. I want more and more people educated on how they do it so they can apply that very sound principle to themselves. That's financial freedom.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, welcome to the Engineer of Finance podcast, and this is your host, Ken Green, with my awesome co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Hey, everyone.
So I have more and more fun doing this podcast week after week. So thank you for everyone who's listening. Thank you, Tammy, for being my co-host still. I haven't scared you away. Good. It's been really fun as the Engineer of Finance doing this podcast. And what a shocker, Tammy. I've been getting a lot of questions from engineers that have been listening to this podcast. And so, like, I like to joke with my wife is there's people out there that they really like me. You've known me for a while, Tammy. I'm very, very humble. And I'm just very, very grateful for everyone that's listening to this podcast and getting value out of it. And the more and more I can help, by sharing with what I know through a lot of what I've done wrong, so they don't have to repeat my mistakes of stupidity over a decade ago. They just don't have to go through that pain. So no one has to endure the pain that I went through.
That's always good.
Just do it the right way. So I was thinking topic-wise, last week I was talking about the raft phenomenon. Mm-hmm. All right, so I was kind of taking a leap there because usually I just like to talk about numbers and things like that. But it's just been something that's fascinating to me. And so I have a conclusion to that, and then I'll move into something fun. I think the biggest reason why people hesitate, Tammy, you want to take a guess? Or do you just want me to give you my answer, and I'll see what you think? Because that is your sweet spot.
Why don't you ask me the question?
I'm just wondering, why do they hesitate? Why do we all have to go through that raft phenomenon? We know we're just going to enjoy the results, so why do we hesitate?
I think it's different in a lot of situations. My first answer was going to be because we're scared of the unknown. But in Tahoe, you know what it's going to feel like. You still wait. I think it varies.
One of my common, and I talk a lot of people, and obviously, and I always ask that random question. Why do you think you hesitate on this? Or why do you hesitate on that? And so it's been a big thing for me last month trying to figure it out. Everyone pays their boring, stupid auto insurance bill. It's not stupid. It's important. Mm. But everyone pays that on time. We all pay the IRS on time. And if we don't, we're going to get penalized. So why don't we jump on the ones that it's going to create so much reward? And yeah, the unknown's one. And I think that's a very valid response. I was talking to a client Monday, and I was just wondering, why is it there a hesitancy from people who really need your help? Why are they hesitant for that help? And I thought his response, real sharp mechanic here in Reno, who's been a great saver, and was a referral from a client, and he's become a great client, right? And doing what I've been preaching on this podcast forever. And he said, yeah, it's a trust thing, right? You don't know. Sometimes we just hesitate because we just don't know who to trust. And sorry, financial industry, a lot of people have been burned by the financial industry. And what a shocker. A lot of people don't trust financial advisors. Mm-hmm. You know, and why is that? A good reason. I mean, I think that there's some phenomenal ones out there. I like to include myself in the phenomenal, the 1%. I remember talking here's a little tangent, and I will go back to the RAF phenomena. I remember talking to the typical financial advisor a few years ago here in Nevada, a big event, and I just said, hey, it's nice to see you. Which I'm always really honest. It really wasn't nice to see him. I said, so what are you specializing to help your clients on with their investments? And what are you doing to help them? And his response was, anything that makes me money.
Oh, ouch.
I'll be a guest speaker at the university here next week. And kind of my fun tagline is like, I like to identify the problem and then create the solution. I think we're all, way too many people are good at complaining about the problem. Yeah, there are problems out there, but what I like is like, hey, let me show you the problem, but let's do some really fun troubleshooting design work, and here comes the solution. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. But I'll be a guest speaker next week at the university. I've been doing this for years. Once a year, I'll come and speak to a bunch of sharp engineering students. It's an engineering economics course. I think last year it was over 100 students. So probably about that amount this year. And it's always interesting to, I mean, some really sharp students in there. And I, in my topic, and it's probably meant to catch people off guard a little bit, but you know, it's like the financial industry does not exist to make you money. It exists to take your money.
Right.
Right. And so I might make it a little bit softer and say, hey, this year, the financial industry, does it exist to make you money or does it exist to take it? So this way it's not so negative. It's so hard turning on the news lately. Everything's just so, so negative.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be part of that problem. But I raise that question because I want people to be aware and to be educated. And there's some phenomenal opportunities out there everywhere. Wall Street, what I do in the alternative investment space, what I teach with the Bank of Source. There's all these different ways to play the game. And what works for people's personalities is what's important, because you can show something that's so perfect, but if it's not perfect for them, it's not going to get implemented. It's not going to get done.
Right.
And for some people, what's perfect for them and what they're going to do is just store that cash under their mattress.
Right.
And if that's what works for them and feels right in their gut, that's what's perfect. And so, boy, I'm Captain Tangent. And I am Captain Tangent. But so anyway, that was my, I don't know how I got on that tangent on the financial industry piece. But oh, the trust part. That's why. The trust.
Okay.
Right? Like, why do we hesitate? Well, some people, they just don't have that trust. They don't trust who's on the other side.
Yeah.
That takes time to earn.
Right.
And I think rightly so. I don't ask anyone to do, I don't ask anyone that works with me to do what I say. I do it and I ask them to do what I'm doing. And they're part of that journey with me. And so it's like, it's so fun. I want everyone so educated on money. I want my clients, I want people on this podcast to know more about finances and money than me. Mm. Now, with that said, I want them to have that kind of independence and be able to make educated decisions that work for them. And that's what I love doing for people. And with that said, though, even though I want people to know more than me, I'm a very competitive person in a good way.
Right.
And so when I have clients say, hey, what's another thing I can read? What's another thing I can study? I'll say, hey, this has been real helpful to me. Here's another book. Here's some other things that I've been working on. And it's just fun. It's just a fun, mentorship, right? This mastermind of clients that I have. And I've been getting some great questions coming back from this podcast. So Tammy, I think on the next podcast, I'd like to start doing some Q&A on those.
So this guy's objective that you were referring to a couple minutes ago, he clearly, his objective is to make money. So what would you say your objective is in, as a financial advisor yourself, what would you say your objective is with your clients?
I want more money in more people's hands than in just a few institutions' hands.
Mm, nice.
I want this community. I want my friends. I want my clients, which a lot of clients become friends. Mm-hmm. And I want more money in a lot more people's hands. That's financial freedom, and that's great. I think what the banks do is phenomenal. It's an incredible business model. That's great. I want more and more people educated on how they do it, so they can apply that very sound principle to themselves. And that's how at least get the education out there. And so I choose to do a lot of business with banks. That's great. I'm also cognizant on how they work, and I also apply that to how I teach my clients to do what the banks are doing. So that's great. I just want more and more people educated, so they're making an educated decision on how they move their money. And with that awareness, if they choose to go get a car loan, great. Or if they choose to finance it to themselves by borrowing from their bank of source or for other means, that's great. But at least understanding how they make money and understanding spread, all those components, that's my big long-winded follow-up. But I want more money in more people's hands.
I like that.
Yeah, because we're such a free nation, right? And if we can create more and more financial freedom for people, that's just a lot more opportunities. So thank you. That was a great question.
Well, thanks for being willing to let me ask it on the spot.
That's what drives me every single day. This was my conclusion on that RAF phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to equate it to myself. I mean, holy cow. I mean, every day I wake up, I feel like I know nothing. and I'm craving to learn more and more and more. And by the way, everything I teach, at workshops, seminars, when I'm guest speaking, when I'm working with clients one-on-one in my office or virtually, from East Coast to West Coast now. How cool. Mm-hmm. As much as I have to teach, I love learning from, I learned so much from all my clients. I learned so much from people all day long. And so every time I wake up in the morning, it's like, yeah, I have some really cool things to share. I mean, I am an engineer. I've gone through a lot in this financial industry and some good history. But every day I wake up, I feel like I know nothing. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I'm going to make fun of is, like, I think the reason for the RAF phenomena is one answer is the pain. Mm-hmm. I was talking about rolling into that water and there's some pain there.
Right.
It does hurt. It is very uncomfortable, especially depending on what time in the summer. But there's some pain there. And I think when it comes to the money component, and I'll just equate it to dieting. I've been saying for months, my son just turned 2 years old, and he's been such a blessing to me and my family. But it definitely changed my routine. And so I used to train all the time in the morning, and then all of a sudden, it's been 2 years, and mom's in great shape again, but dad isn't. I just stopped training. And so I have I like it. And everyone listen, it's just a joke. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, I'm overweight because I have a gland problem. And yeah, I'm sure some people, it's a real issue. And my joke's always, I don't have a gland problem. I have a knife, fork, and spoon problem. Right? And so there's a little pain. And I've been saying, I need to change how I'm eating. I need to start training again, get in shape for tennis. Because when you're 20 pounds overweight, you don't move as fast as that tennis ball. 20 pounds is not so fun to have. And so, but there's a pain. I do enjoy working for food. I enjoy food. I enjoy eating out. And so it's the knife, fork, and spoon is my nemesis. And so there's some pain there. And so every time I try to go through that pain and do without and get back into good habits, it's been a challenge. And so I think that comes with the money component. So, like, diet-wise, you know, the best way to start losing weight, you start writing down what you're eating. Like, you don't want, it's like, oh, I'm not, I'll start this tomorrow. So for last month, I've been like, okay, I got to eat better. And so this morning, it's like, okay, I'm going to eat better. So someone doesn't want to endure the pain, but I know how good it's going to feel once I drop that weight. I just don't want to go through that pain.
Right.
And so there's a component on the financial side. There's people, it's very hard when someone's coming to sit down and talk to me about money. It can be. To show that they're not financially aware that, hey, we've got, I got all this debt and it's really embarrassing. I don't want to show this. And when I'm looking at that environment, I'm looking at debt, cash flow, the different asset classes where the money's at, that's people are really exposing themselves to me. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
And so there's some pain to that. And what I try to do consistently remove is, well, let me take that away. Mm-hmm. I did it all wrong. I screwed up. I thought I was so smart, Mr. Electrical Engineer, Mr. Civil Engineer. And, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, he can figure it out. Well, sure, I can figure it out too. Well, my financial advisors were the typical advisors. They didn't teach me how to play the game right. And so I had zero savings, a lot of money investments, zeros in savings. And it's like I've said before, if I only knew back then what I teach, I would kill at 22 to learn what I teach today. Mm-hmm. But there's some pain there, right? So maybe there's some hesitant lack of trust in the financial industry, some pain. That's hard to start tracking where money's going. Sometimes it's easier just to stick our head in the sand and it's not in front of us. It's not an issue because we're not addressing it. So what do you think of that response? Maybe that creates some of the delays, just that pain.
Yeah, I totally agree. And especially like the whole concept of judgment. What I'd love to know is, how do you help people with the fear that you're going to judge them, that sense of guilt or shame around their current financial situation or maybe choices that they've made? How do you help them get over that?
Oh, just look at me. I did it all wrong right there off the bat. Mm-hmm. Just learn from me. Mm-hmm. And as humbling that it is and as embarrassing to this day still for me, that was a real hard time in my life. But again, that's what drives me. It's just, it's like a blessing and a curse. It's like created a huge amount of humility for me. I became very, very humble back then. My tolerance as an engineer, if someone talked down to me, I was not very tolerant of it. Still, I don't think anyone likes being talked down to. But now I have just such a degree of empathy. And literally, when you go from a strong income thinking you're retired and a millionaire, right? So the best thing I do to help people in that space is that, yeah, it is painful tightening up your belt, but it's really not that bad. Trust me. And I've been there. And so there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I love how you're shifting it from feeling shame to feeling proud that they're taking a step now as opposed to waiting for another 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever. So the situation just becomes worse. Well, I was just going to say that that's probably another part of your objective is to solve the problem, whatever the problem is. In addition to creating that financial freedom, getting more money in more people's hands, solving that problem. So that goes back again to helping people feel that, get over that sense of shame. Is you can't help them solve the problem unless you know what it is.
Yeah, it's very hard. I can tell you, just trying to understand psychology and how I work and how to improve my business. I've gone to a lot of different, I've got you, Tammy, to help me with my company. I've mm-hmm. went to see other people in the past and there's this one class, it's called a business consciousness school. Mm-hmm. And talking about the idea that there is no separation between what you do in your business and what you do in life. And I totally bought into that, really believe it. My behavior at work is exactly after hours as well. It's very, very, it's just who I am right now, it's who I am at night, it's who I am with my family, it's who I am with my friends. And I was talking about, it's very hard for us to see the flaws and strengths in ourselves. It takes a coach on the outside to help. And it's really not much of a shift. And that's kind of quite what I helping people do, is that it's very hard to see the mistakes because we're inside that bottle, right? It's hard to see the label on the outside. I heard someone made an analogy like that the other day. And when you have someone see it from outside, you know, from a different angle, and then show you just a little bit different, not much, just a little bit of a tweak to work within your own personality, how it can have such a huge impact. And so you can get so far ahead of the game. And so that's kind of quite what I do on the financial side. All my clients, they do the hard work, right? But I just show them a little bit. I just show them the answers to the test, and that just makes it so much easier. It's like,
your guide.
That simple, that easy. And now I remember what my tangent was about seeing the engineer at lunch. Do you like script your podcast, or is this big thing? And is that what you're going to talk about? Oh, no, I'm Captain Impromptu. It's like, whatever. We turn on that mic, and then it's like, oh, what's the fun topic of the day? And so I kind of equate it to the fun lunch meetings, like with him, we always just have a fun topic. You know, like, hey, let's go to lunch, and let's talk about something fun. You know, it's always a bunch of questions and answers and just trying to learn from each other. So, I mean, I cannot tell you how proud I am of what I've accomplished for me personally since getting purged of everything and then learning. And it's like, so to this day, I'm just so grateful from that book from Nelson Nash. I'm so grateful for the mentors that I sought out to learn more and more and more, and how it's expanded to what I do in addition to teaching whole life insurance, designing it the correct way, you know, the bankosaurus banking system and all that stuff. And how now it's like, hey, now once we've got this big bankosaurus, now look at all the other things we can do to start creating passive income streams, you know, cash flow where you can earn money while you're sleeping or playing. Here's where it gets really fun. And the pain part's over with. And now it's just, you're just, you know, Kaizen. So I was explaining Kaizen to someone the other day, right? The art of improving things, right? Actually, I think it was to my assistant. I was like, hey, we need more efficiencies. And so we're going to keep getting things more and more efficient, more better and better and better for us and our clients. And so Kaizen. And so I'm sure people can get a way better definition of how I'm going to try to explain it, but it's just the art of improving, making it better and better and better. So everyone that tuned in on the podcast today, thank you so much for listening. Please, if you love what I have to share and you love my co-host Tammy, please give us a rating, share this with other people. And you want to learn some more, go to my website, www.engineerfinance.com, or just pick up the phone, give me a call at 775-624-8839.
Excellent.
And I'll let you do the awesome sign off, Tammy.
All right. Well, those of you listening that are a fan of Ken Green and the Engineer of Finance podcast, we will see you next time right here when Ken Green shares more of his financial wisdom.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.